Panthers Pulse, an inside look at the Carolina Panthers and the National Football League, exclusively at Panthers.com.
It's radio, it's television, and it's on the web. We call it Panthers Pulse. It's Mike Kraft from Panthers.com, along with my running mates, Brian Strickland, senior writer for Panthers.com, and Max Henson, staff writer for Panthers.com. Guys, this is another bounce-back week for the Panthers, and now it's getting critical. After a heartbreaking loss up in Buffalo, the team returns home to face the Giants in what has to be a must-win situation. But minutes before the show, news started breaking about the Panthers' safety situation, and I'm telling you, as we had in our headlines, there is no safety in numbers. Because right now, you had a lot of guys on the roster, but there's a lot of doubt going on with who's up, who's down. What's the latest, Brian?
Yeah, literally posted on Panthers.com. Read more about it. Added Robert Lester, the safety from Alabama, that had certainly a promising offseason as an undrafted rookie. He's been added to the active roster off the practice squad. With Charles Godfrey going on IR, that's the corresponding move. Obviously, you have a roster spot, and certainly makes sense to replace a safety with a safety, especially with, as is detailed in the article, the other things going on there with Quentin Michael up in the air for Sunday, and Mike Mitchell not the healthiest as well. And then you have Colin Jones, who played well in Coach Rivera's estimation down the stretch, but who is kind of a special teams first guy. Mm-hmm.
So. Well, you go through a long detail about the safety situation, and it's worth reading on Panthers.com to all our listeners there. Now, when we talk about Robert Lester, let's talk about him first, coming up from the practice squad, a young man who played a lot of big-time football down at Alabama, and you watch him operate. He doesn't seem like your typical wide-eyed rookie. And certainly if he has to move from the practice squad up to the active roster, Max, that will be a challenge, though.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a challenge. Brian talked about in his story a little bit. There was a point in training camp where Robert hit kind of a bit of a wall, the coaches said, but had impressed them enough before that point. I mean, that's just a kind of a typical rookie experience for camp. But yeah, it's certainly a change in mentality. You're on the practice squad. It's you're just kind of waiting to see what happens, and all of a sudden, boom, the leader of the secondary goes down, and you're the corresponding move for that. I mean, that's a lot of pressure on a guy, and obviously Robert Lester knows what pressure in this game can be like playing for Alabama. I mean, that's kind of what you'd like about his pedigree, is where he comes from, the three national championships. He's been in tight situations, pressure situations, and we're going to find out quickly if he's ready for this stage right now, because obviously, as we mentioned, the Panthers are really in a desperate situation in secondary with all the injuries.
Yeah, and I think Coach mentioned yesterday, I mean, they were almost to the point of Thomas Davis bumping back.
Right. It's funny, I was joking about it with Brian before, and turns out that was actually the case. I mean, that's how bad things got. Jordan Senn also offered his services to play back there. I mean, that was one of those situations where it was just, you just don't see guys at the same position go down that often, and it was a desperate time. Yeah,
right. But I was just going to say, but the good news with Lester, I mean, along the lines of what you're talking about, he's used to being in pressure situations. He's used to big stages, and I think people know this, but I mean, practice squad, there's nothing separate there at practice. I mean, that's the great thing about this move, is obviously this guy has been practicing just like everybody else in that group on game day. You know, maybe some scouts team stuff thrown in as well, but you're bringing in a guy that has been in this system and is in the system every single day. So there's no, you know, we're 5 days from the game. I mean, he's up to speed from that perspective, as opposed to bringing someone in from the outside and trying to get them ready that fast.
You make a very good point there, a very good point. And the thing about it, we know that Steve Wilks, the secondary coach and defensive passing game coordinator, will have him up to speed with whatever he needs to take care of to get ready for Sunday.
Yeah, and I think you really can't overstate how big a loss this is for the secondary when Charles Godfrey goes down. I mean, we're obviously, you look ahead to Robert Lester and how he'll fit in, but you look at Charles and the coaches, the players, everybody liked it, just how disappointing it is. He had found a home at free safety, was playing very well, was the communicator back there, getting everybody lined up. It's a huge blow because of how well he was playing and how much of a leadership role he had taken on. So just very unfortunate for this team right now.
And there was a sense after the game on Sunday that it was not good.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously we know now, but a lot of guys came up. I went up, gave him a hug because it's such a great young man. And he was really, like you said, finding a home and rounding into shape with what he was doing on the defense. Well, that being said, the NFL, no forgiveness league. No forgiveness league. They don't, you can't, you know, take a mulligan. And one thing we know, the Giants coming in this week, they are also 0-2. And with both teams face the implications of starting the season 0-3. And I know the prospects for any team starting 0-2 aren't good either.
Right. Yeah, I mean, again, it's the past, but the past 4 years, no team that started 0-2 has made the playoffs. I think since 1990, it's like 12%. But that's, that to me is not incredibly dire. That, for one thing, that's in the past. For the other thing is, what percentage, I'm trying to do quick math here, what percentage of teams make the playoffs, period, right? It's what? 40%,
yeah,
a little less, 35%. So you know,
thanks,
12.
Thanks for asking, Max. About me. I don't do math.
So 12 out of 32.
Sure.
So you know, the math, the 12% isn't as bad as it sounds, if you ask me.
Yeah.
But 0-3, I don't even want to think about looking at the stats for that.
Well, I know nobody downstairs wants to, and that's why this is going to be a big week of practice. I expect the team to take the field with the same kind of enthusiasm that they have had in the previous 2 weeks and before. And we know for a fact, Max, that this team is competitive. And that Buffalo Bills team should not be taken lightly. And when folks say, Seattle this and Buffalo that, Buffalo is a very good, talented, young team.
Yeah, Buffalo lost by 2 points to New England in their opener, and then win a close game against the Panthers in week two. We talked about how good Seattle is, and they showed it again with how badly they beat San Francisco. So, yeah, I mean, you look at the teams they played and how close they were in those games, and sure, this team is competitive, and it's playing these games down to the wire. The problem is they're not winning these games, and that's the hump that Ron Rivera talked about them needing to get over. It's just enough of losing games close in the fourth quarter. That's been a problem that's been, you know, needed to be addressed for some time now, and again, here, 2 games into the season, that's still, you know, what this team is trying to overcome. So yeah, Mike, absolutely, this team is competitive. They're playing hard against these teams, and it's coming down to the end, but they haven't been able to make those plays to win it.
Well, Max, we always listen to our fans at this point in the show, and this week's first question is very special because I understand the hot light is on.
Yes. Yummy.
You want to explain?
Well, yeah, we've got a new feature here on Panthers Pulse. We've got our Krispy Kreme Hot Light question of the day, and it comes from Jeremy Irvin on Twitter, who asks, if the offense does well in an up-tempo style, like the scoring drive before the end of the first half versus the Bills, why not build your offense on that?
Good question. And when you looked at the team end, and I can really, Brian, argue both sides of this.
Yeah.
And I won't try to take up all the time, but no. But anyway, you talk about a team going up tempo, and here's one thing. Okay, yes, you moved good in up tempo. You put pressure on the defense, but the other side of that is you have to stay true to who you are. Mm-hmm. And this team is going to be built on ball control and running game,
right.
And that's what this team is built on. Now, whether that goes hand in hand with up tempo. Sure, there's things you can do to quicken your tempo.
Yeah.
You don't have to necessarily be no huddle. But we're 2 weeks into the season. You just don't scrap what you've worked on all offseason, spent countless hours developing, and just go off in another direction.
I agree. Yeah, there's something to be said for changing tempos, to me, as a device as well. I mean, clearly the team showed it has the option of going up tempo. But like you said, I mean, the identity of this team is not necessarily built that way. And looking forward to the Giants game specifically, and, you know, the injuries we talked about in the secondary, unfortunately, the risk of going up tempo and going off the field after 25 seconds or something like that and putting the defense back out there might not be worth it, especially given, you know, the base that this team wants to build around.
Yeah, I mean, and you look on the other side of it, in that Bills game, that was the best the Panthers offense had looked the entire game. That 2-minute drive at the end of the first half, obviously they had not scored a point in the first half up until then. Then a string of plays, the offense gets in rhythm, Greg Olsen 13-yard touchdown. So you understand where Jeremy's coming from with the question, and that clearly that was the best the offense looked. And you could just feel the rhythm just starting as soon as that drive really got underway. So, yes, it's not something where all of a sudden, like you said, Mike, you can scrap the plan and say we're going to run up tempo for the rest of the year. But I think it is something that maybe we'll see a little bit more of a if this offense continues to flourish in that situation, maybe, you know, sprinkled in throughout the game, right. We'll see more of a, hey, let's get moving a little bit quicker here. We'll see if we can develop a bit of a rhythm.
Well, Jeremy, thanks for your hot light question of the day. When the Panthers win, you get a sweet deal on a dozen original glazed Krispy Kreme donuts.
All right.
I, my mouth started watering. I almost couldn't get it out.
Yeah, I'd have to go by myself.
Glazed Krispy Kreme donuts.
Oh, nothing better.
And I'm checking my app here right now. Hot light donut light is on in Charlotte. Sharon Amity will be hitting there after the show. Keep that hot light on. But anyway, as we move forward, let's talk about the offense starting to hit its stride. Let's talk about the difference that Ted Ginn makes to the passing game.
All right. Would you like me to do that, Mike?
Yeah. Do I need to pose that in a question?
No, that's fine. That was a statement, but I knew where you were going with that. I mean, 40-yard touchdown for Ted Ginn, certainly one of the highlights offensively, not in the hurry-up offense, I might point out.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. But, that was great to see. We've been talking about the threat of Ted Ginn a lot. Unfortunately, hadn't been able to see him much on kickoffs because these kickers keep kicking the ball out of the end zone. So that hookup was nice. But on the other side, a couple other opportunities that passed us by with Ted. I mean, there was...
He was open throughout the day.
He was, which that over, big picture, that's good. You know, but little picture, you want to connect on more than one of those. And we could be talking about Ted Ginn having at least a 2-touchdown game. But it's exciting. I mean, just the ease with which he got past the defensive player on that play and Cam hitting him in stride. It's an exciting thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
When I talked about it on our self-scout segment yesterday, the difference in that play is Ted Ginn working in concert with Greg Olsen and Steve Smith. And we all know the coverage is going to roll to Steve Smith's way.
Yep.
But now if you have another guy taking the top off the defense, that opens up some opportunities for other guys as well. So that will be exciting as they explore that. D'Angelo Williams carrying the load.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine what it's going to be like when we get Jonathan Stewart back.
Yeah, coming week 7 is possible on Jonathan, but I mean D'Angelo certainly has embraced the opportunity to be the man back there. You know, you mentioned getting in a rhythm before. I feel like he's gotten in a rhythm at times. There's not going to be a gaping hole every time. He's gotten, you know, the 4 or 5 yard plays that add up here and there, and obviously had a couple of breakout plays. Might be nice. You remember late last year, the screen game and how he made two big plays in that. I think that's something maybe to look forward to coming here soon, potentially get involved in the passing game.
Let's get back to some more fan questions.
We got another unique question here today. Zachary James Wilson on Facebook says, greetings from Kessler Air Force Base. Just wanted to mention the growth and maturity I saw in Cam during his post-game interview. Things like that, or the small things, is going to get us over the small humps we're dealing with right now. Best wishes and keep up the good work. Senior Airman Wilson. So,
oh yeah,
pretty cool.
Well, good to hear from our brothers in arms. And he brought up some valid points.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think if you watch the way Cam goes about his business during the whole week, you know, there's a difference.
Yeah.
And he's wearing that C on his chest proudly. And, you know, doing the little things.
Yeah.
And playing quarterback, Brian, I mean, it's more than just throwing a football.
Right. And I have sensed that, you know, specific to his question with the post game, I mean, I think you guys agree there seems to be a little bit of a different demeanor than he showed last season after some losses. I don't really want to see any more examples of it, though. I want to see Cam in a winning press conference.
Yeah.
That'll be up next.
And I always said, you know, I'm glad at the age of 21, 22, 23, I didn't have to go through the spotlight that this young man has gone through.
Yeah.
But I don't know how I would have reacted. So I think he's handling it well and maturing and growing at the same time.
Absolutely.
Let's hit another question.
Well, we'll say on Cam, Van Gant on Twitter actually asks, Cam is your best player. Why not keep the ball in his hands at crunch time? Assuming he's alluding to the third down play, 3rd and 5, Panthers handed off to Mike Tolbert for 4 and ended up kicking the field goal.
Well,
I'll look at the game overall, and I think you go into the game with a game plan, And when you look at it, there was more zone read opportunity. There were a couple times when he dropped back in coverage and the defense was man-to-man running away yep. from him, and he made some good decisions. And sometimes it's flow of the game.
Yeah.
And on zone read, if the defense is reading him, then they're not playing zone.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Max, but didn't they use the threat of Cam's ball in the hand on that
yeah.
third down
well,
play?
I was just going to say we're going to post coordinator conversation here later today with some comments from Mike Shula on that final offensive possession. And he said, yeah, they went into a formation, three wide receivers, a look they have run Cam out of before. And I think, obviously, we're trying to get the defense to think that that was what was coming. They do a misdirection handoff to Tolbert. And me and Mike actually rewatched the play this morning. And the blocking is set up pretty nicely on that play. And there's a hole for Tolbert to run through. The Bills defenders cut down on the blockers in front. And just before he can get that extra yard, Tolbert kind of goes down. So hindsight being 20/20, maybe you do call a different play. But Shula felt that was the best play in that situation to get 5 yards. And they came up a yard short. So,
yeah. Well, that's the difference between when you're making the call, you have to make the call, you have to stand by it and move forward. And they played good ball on the other side, too, and things happen.
Yeah.
Well, guys, just want to thank our sponsor again, Krispy Kreme, on our Hot Light question of the day. And also, thanks to all the crew here on behalf of Brian and Max. Dan on the wheels of steel, as always, we promise to stop talking before you stop listening. Join us right here next week, same time, on Panthers.com.